again. This is the old Good Morning Man with program 15 in a series of 260, all dealing with happenings and the people who made them happen in the WHKP area over the past 50 years. A series that had Frank Fitzsimmons behind these mics covered a period of 25 years and dealt primarily with the early days of the county and the early settlers. So with the blessings of the Fitzsimmons family, we call this Where Fitz Left Off. Today, be on the alert. 3 of the 10 worst fires ever recorded here occurred during this month of February. Frank L. Fitzsimmons, in his trilogy From the Banks of the Ocklawaha, told you about Hendersonville's first really big fire, glutting two city blocks on 7th Avenue back in 1910. He covered in detail the fire that destroyed the old Ripley House, which, as it changed ownership down through the years, was known as the Imperial, the Gates, the Globe, even the St. John's Hotel. That was in 1915. Fitz also covered the big fire in 1926 that destroyed the Brenner Penny department store and damaged two other buildings on Main Street. The fire in 1928 that destroyed the Hyder and Lott buildings on Main. And finally in 1930, how the Wheeler Hotel or the Terrace or the Carolina Terrace burned on a cold December night in 1930. This was in the midst of the Depression, and highly suspicious circumstances surrounded the fire. In fact, the village personage, Walter B. Smith, used to say, "It took them all week to finally burn that old hotel down." Obviously, insurance played a role. Earlier that year in April, the Laurel Park Casino Pavilion had burned in those days of hard times. We'll deal with the many other disastrous fires in the community over the years, but certainly one of the 10 worst fires the town ever experienced destroyed the famed Carolina Theater, May 11, 1940. The irony of this fire was that the ownership of the building and theater management were in the process of remodeling and refurbishing the theater when the fire occurred. Later investigation led to the conclusion that the fire had started from uncovered cans of oil-based paint, paint thinner, and turpentine, which had ignited spontaneously. As in all major fires of this sort, the big concern of those fighting the blaze was to keep it from spreading from the theater into other buildings in that same block. Back in those years, the professional firemen were assisted by every police officer who, when employed, was told he was also an auxiliary fireman. This was 14 years before the first volunteer fire department would be organized in this county, and backup for the city could come only from Brevard or Asheville. The Carolina Theater fire was not as much a blazing inferno as it was a gigantic smoke pot. All of the close to 1,000 upholstered seats in the theater simply smoldered, sending off enormous amounts of smoke. Even the giant theater curtains that were always used to add drama to a movie house, that's when an attendant, usually the usher, went backstage and pulled open the curtains, and then you knew the picture show was about to begin. Those giant curtains were probably fireproof, but they would also smolder and emit dense clouds of smoke. The celluloid film of the picture then showing, and films which had already come in for later showing, those films went up almost explosively. The large contingent of firemen assisted by not only police, but a large number of auxiliary firefighters, they battled the blaze and watered down the roofs of adjacent buildings to keep the blaze from spreading, and as all this excitement was taking place, the crowd kept growing. And you could keep hearing such comments as, "Well, there goes our first-run movies," or, "I guess we'll have to be content with the B-movies down at the state." Back then, both movie houses were owned by North Carolina Theaters Incorporated, run by Harry Buchanan. Harry Buck, as he was affectionately called back then, had moved to Hendersonville from Silva in 1932, where he had built and operated a couple of theaters, which he sold, when he moved here to manage the old Rex Theater, which was also destroyed by fire in that same year, 1932. It was rebuilt and became the State Theater. In the mid-30s, Harry Buck was able to persuade Captain E.A. Smythe to build another, larger and more beautiful movie house, which he would lease and operate with the State Theater. This theater was named the Carolina and featured only first-run A pictures. After the Carolina began operation, the state featured only Westerns and B pictures. Mr. Buchanan's savvy in the operation of movie theaters and his active role in Democratic Party politics led the huge Willoughby Kinsey chain of newspapers to hire Harry as their paid lobbyist in Raleigh. And as the years went by, Harry's power and influence began to grow. Tomorrow we'll tell you about how Harry was able to persuade Captain Smythe to build a beautiful new theater, but also how Harry not only served in a variety of leadership roles in the community and state, but how a Hendersonville man who lived at the corner of Fifth Avenue and Blythe Street became the founder of the famed Cherokee Indian drama Unto These Hills. Harry Buck, just one of the many outstanding people known, but the seventh child of a seventh child who was born in this town, had the good sense never to leave, and who's been employed in the work he loved, not for 50 years, but for a lifetime. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.